Drive with Wolfgang and Trent Condon. Real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 The Champ.
A little somber mood as we come back here, Wolfgang.
Sorry, I'm going to be okay, Trent.
Bringing it down a notch.
That's okay. It's okay.
Oh, boy. Top 5 of 5. Here we go. Let's bring the excitement. Let's bring some energy.
Let's do it.
Let's get going here. It's been a rough one for your boy, TC. I'm battling my way back. I'm going to get through it. Got an hour to go, and then straight to bed. That is the plan. AT&T Stadium. It'll be on in the bedroom at the very least. We'll see if that works out with the toddler at home. You know how that goes, Wolfgang, right?
Yes.
Easy. No problem.
Sure.
She'll be all about that, I'm sure, tonight. Time right now for our top 5 at 5 each and every day. We hit five topics on the local and the national scene as it pertains to the world of sports. Today, brought to you by our friends at Billion Auto. A big thank you to them for jumping aboard over in Clive. Great deals going on right now with their November sale. Stop on out to Billion Auto, a presenting sponsor of our high school football coverage, and a doubleheader this week. It'll be game one, Dowling Catholic against Bettendorf, 4 o'clock on Friday, followed by Southeast Polk, the upstart Rams, at 6-5 as they take on undefeated Cedar Falls. We'll have both games for you here on 1700 The Champ. Here we go!
Number one.
Wolfgang, early in the third quarter, Iowa scored a touchdown to cut their deficit to 5 and then went for 2 points to try to make it a 3-point game. I was out in front. I didn't like it. I tweeted as much right as it happened. Can you justify what Kirk Ferentz was thinking in that moment?
So, I wasn't as negative on it as you were and a lot of the people that I knew. Would I have gone for 2 there? I would not have. The more I think about it, I still wouldn't. But I'm trying to find out here. And, you know, games always change. We get more numbers, Trent. We get more math. We get more analytics. Is there something to be said where they could have been like, Iowa scores 2 here? Basically, what is it, a 50% conversion rate to get 2 points every time?
Yep.
So you got 2 opportunities to get that. I mean, is there anything there at all?
I don't see it.
You don't see that's even a possibility?
Chasing points early, and it came back to bite Iowa. They lose by 2, 38-36.
Number 2.
Speaking of Iowa, the basketball team was in action. You watched this whole thing start to finish.
I did.
And I have it on the... Well, maybe I won't be sleeping. I guess I still got to watch that Iowa basketball game. Is it worth it to watch it?
Yeah, you're going to want to see it because I'm interested to see what you think of the thing that we're going to be talking about forever and ever, the intensity on defense. Do they give a damn? Do they care? Are they connected? Because we don't have any guys that are essentially lockdown defenders.
So here's the question. What was your biggest takeaway from yesterday?
Biggest take? That they did a pretty good job of being connected on defense because that's really what I was looking for. I wanted to see it. Now, I'm never going to be satisfied. You know, I had certain people coming at me going, Iowa Hawkeye fans are a little too negative on the defense. I mean, like, what do you mean a little too negative on the defense? They have a good reason to be really negative on the defense. So if we're being too negative on the defense, that's a good thing. And some other people were saying, well, Iowa doesn't have to be an elite defensive team in order to be good this year.
They don't.
That's true. But shouldn't we? I mean,
they have to be adequate,
expect
though.
More? Well, depending on what your expectations are.
To be an NCAA tournament team, they have to be top 70 in defensive efficiency, probably.
I expect
at Ken Pom.
More than that. I mean, you know what I mean?
But,
is that all we're going to do here?
But that's a baseline. Okay. I mean, that's a baseline, and I think that's a step in the right direction to get there.
Number 3.
Iowa State's Akeem Butler had one of the top plays of the college football weekend as he goes up, gets the football, then slings a Kansas defender to the ground.
That was awesome.
Of the 15,000 fans in attendance, it sounds like a third, a half, maybe two-thirds were Cyclone fans. They were there, and they were certainly representing down in Lawrence. How much further does this Iowa State team go? Is this a team that is going to be playing in Dallas, playing for a Big 12 championship?
Can I wait to say till tomorrow? I want to watch that Texas-West Virginia game.
Okay.
If that NFL game stinks tonight.
Fair enough.
I'm going to try to watch that. Can you give me one more time to watch Texas?
I'll allow it.
But I do believe they're going to beat Baylor. Texas is the game I'm won. I believe they'll beat Kansas State. Iowa State will beat Kansas State. I need to think a little bit more about the Texas game. And as I've said earlier, and I'll continue to say, this is no more, you know, living on a prayer. This is no more of that with Iowa State fans. This is like analytical sites and math sites and people that know their stuff that are actually looking at this Iowa State team. And this could happen. This absolutely could happen. So this is no joke, Trent.
Number four.
NFL from yesterday and some entertaining games. That late window was awesome. What was going on? Of course, the shootout with the Rams and the Saints. Chargers game, that was very entertaining in their matchup against the Seahawks. A fun late afternoon window. But Wolfgang, I'm going to a question that is becoming very pertinent right now. Le'Veon Bell, the door is closing. Will he open it? Are we going to see Le'Veon Bell play football in this football season?
I'm having trouble putting myself in his head. Are you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I understand you want to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. You want to stay healthy. You don't want to be overworked. You want a bigger contract. I get that. So I understand that. But at some point, I'm not understanding, not communicating with the team. You're coming off as an arrogant guy that doesn't care about his team. If I owned the Bears, or if I owned Minnesota, or if I had a whole bunch of money like the 49ers, or I'm trying to think of some of the other teams out there that are going to have money to spend next year, I don't know that and it's not because I don't think this guy's any good. He is good. But look what James Conner is now doing for the Steelers, Trent.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do I think James Conner is as good as him? I don't. But if you actually look at production, from what I understand, through eight games, Conner's production is actually better. Now, it's a little bit of a different game. It's hard to... I'm not saying it's apples to apples, but it's...
Sure.
I mean, we're comparing fruits here.
Number five.
Watermelons to bananas.
Enough about me. Let's talk about football.
All right. Finishing up here with our top five at five, brought to you by Billion Auto. Let's go next back to college basketball. Tomorrow night is the official start of the season. We will see Iowa State against Alabama State. A game so good, Vegas still hasn't even put out a line for it, nor will they. Normally you don't see SWAC games that have lines. So this will be one we'll have to make lines of our own. But the real reason, we get the Champions Classic. Michigan State, Kansas. Number one ranked Kansas. 5-point favorite. Game two, Duke, Kentucky. Guess who's favored in that game?
Duke, Kentucky. Duke's got so many new players. I mean, I would say Duke, but I don't know. I have no idea.
Kentucky by a bucket. Kentucky by two.
Do you have any action on that?
Not yet.
Because I'd bet on Duke.
You know I will tomorrow.
I trust Coach K over...
K over Cal?
Yeah, I do. Not that I hate either one. I mean, they're both fine. Do you see that little thing on ESPN where they do behind the scenes and you get to see Coach K?
No.
It's kind of interesting. Check it out and see if you can see it on YouTube. But it's kind of like the thing we like about the Browns and mm-hmm. stuff like that. You get to see behind the stuff. Sometimes they do it on the Big Ten Network. It's interesting to see Coach K and how he acts. Well, he knows the cameras are there, obviously, so it's a little bit
right.
of, you know what I mean. But it is kind of fun to see how he says things, how he teaches things. Does he yell? Does he not yell? They had him dyeing his hair and everything. It was cool.
Oh, they didn't show him dyeing his hair. What are you talking about?
How much younger are we than Coach K? He didn't have one gray hair, dude.
We got a lot more.
What a joke.
Well, look who I got to deal with every day. You over there. I got to
deal
with Brinson.
Yeah, that does it.
Yeah, you know how it goes. There it is, the top five at five here. Wolfgang, we got a couple of minutes before we got our break, and we got Zubin Mehente waiting in the wings. Excited to talk some college football, some NFL with Zubin. You know, gave you a couple of college basketball thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State NCAA tournament team, is that a fair baseline for the Cyclones?
It seems like it is. Most people, I think, are having them around 6th or 7th in the Big 12 and are picking 6th or 7
right.
to actually make it.
On the right side of the bubble for most everybody.
Guns in my head, yeah, I think they're going to make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some more homework on that tonight because tomorrow it's happening.
It's
for real.
Happening.
Those are two sweet games, and then Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's time to do some reading. So yeah. It's time to figure out what we're going to, how far are we picking Iowa State, who's mm-hmm. going to be better, Duke or Kentucky. But those are four awesome games, obviously, if you're
Florida
a Hawkeye.
Plays Florida State.
Okay.
That's good.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, we.
Tomorrow's going to be fun. Tomorrow's going to be fun, yeah. I'll absolutely do some reading on that, and then. Yeah, eventually we got to get down to the minutes on how many minutes we got, you know.
Well, and
it's hard for Iowa State right now, isn't it?
Well, it is because of the injuries, because of the suspension. We're going to try to do that tomorrow. We'll be out at G-Migs tomorrow. Let's try to do that. I got Alex a day early for us, so let's map out some time. We'll be there. We'll try to figure out what exactly is going to happen. Iowa, how do you divvy up these minutes? Continue to hear good things about Ryan Kreener.
Mm-hmm.
Can he carve out a role? What does that mean for Nungy? Where does Pemsel fall? It's difficult. Same thing for Iowa State. Where do you find these minutes? Zion, where do you get minutes out of him? Is Terrence Lewis just done? deep teams, how you make these minutes, and the way we like to do it, Wolfgang, what it's going to look like when we get to conference play. Not when you're playing Alabama State, not when you're playing Savannah State, when you're taking on somebody with a pulse.
Yep.
That's how we're going to try to map it out. Zubin Mehente, he's coming up next. We're talking football with Zubin with you until 6 o'clock on The Drive.
1700 The Champ with the DA Show. Every weekday from 8 to 11 a.m. Damon Amendola keeping it real with a twist.
It's green, moron.
Come on, move it, you clowns.
1700 The Champ. Right now, traffic.
Here's another look at traffic, and right now we have a few accidents. First of all, we have one on East 7th Street at Walnut Street, and then we have one on East 14th at University Avenue, and it looks like that one has slowed down traffic, so if you're over that way, expect some delay. And finally, to the south, we have one on Fleur Drive going southbound at Army Post Road. And that's your look at traffic. Drive safe out there, Des Moines, and have a great evening.
This report is sponsored by Lowe's. Now at Lowe's, get the Craftsman 51-piece mechanics tool set, including a 120-tooth ratchet, for just $59.98. Offer valid 10/31 through 11/7. While supplies last, see store for details, U.S. only.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at TheRookieSportsCards.com.
Looks like we have another contestant for Russian Roofer Roulette. Place your bet. Choose from unmet expectations, we overpromise and underdeliver, or we'll carelessly drag our ladder over your daffodils. Let's log on to Google and play.
I'm Ryan Johnson, owner of Wright Roofing. Before you play Russian Roofer Roulette, give us a call. Wright Roofing is one of the only local roofers with a 50-year warranty on both the shingles and the labor. So you know that when we roof it, we'll roof it once and we'll roof it right. For a warranty on materials and labor that's five times longer than most companies, call Wright Roofing at 515-729-0770, where we say you choose the color, we'll handle the rest. That's 729-0770, or find us online at rightroofing.com. That's rightroofing.com with an R.
Roof it once, roof it right, Right Roofing.
You have to be up in 5 hours. 2 hours. 6 minutes, and you haven't slept a wink. ZzzQuil Pure Z's is a drug-free blend of botanicals with an optimal dose of melatonin so you can fall asleep naturally and wake with no next-day grogginess. So tonight, try new ZzzQuil Pure Z's from the sleep experts at Vicks ZzzQuil.
There's a time and a place for black and white, like when you're learning to play piano, or when you want a big two-toned cookie, or when shopping for a pet zebra. But if you want to attract customers, there's no room for black and white, so go to Staples. Staples specializes in bold, hard-to-miss color printing. And now at Staples, get 20% back in rewards on color printing, from banners to brochures and copies to presentations. Print more color, save more money at Staples.
In-store only, ends 11/10/18. Restrictions apply. See store associate or staples.com/20back for details.
Camp Sunnyside, taking a boat ride is Joey's favorite thing to do.
Easter Seals Iowa provides support for children and adults with disabilities in our community. From the fun of Camp Sunnyside to employment and daily living skills, Easter Seals provides a wide range of support to promote independence.
We have so much fun out in the sun here at Camp Sunnyside.
Learn more at EasterSealsIA.org.
Build your business. At Signorama of Urbandale, we offer customized solutions for signs, branding, marketing, and advertising. We have a full range of custom sign and graphic services to meet your needs, build your brand, and create your image. Look around and you'll see how Andy Woodley and his staff help businesses enhance visibility and get noticed. Let us work with you to understand your unique marketing goals and help you reach them. Signorama of Urbandale, the way to grow your business. 3368 100 Street in Urbandale and online at signorama.com/IA-Urbandale.
You're invited to experience great customer service and incredible deals at Billion Buick GMC in Clive. Our reviews say it all.
I didn't feel pressured. It was a very smooth process.
Our salesman came in on his day off. Now that's going above and beyond.
People also appreciate the huge inventory, including the incredible all-new 2019 GMC Sierra. You're invited to Billion Buick GMC in Clive or BillionAuto.com/GMC. We are professional grade.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind, and our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
The Drive with Wolfgang and Trent Condon. Real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 The Champ.
Welcome back as The Drive continues here. 1700 The Champ, and we're joined early this week by our buddy Zubin Mahente. Our weekly conversations with Zubin. Always enjoy the talk, NFL, college football, and whatever else comes up. Always good to talk with Zubin as he joins us. What's going on, Zub?
Want to tell you one quick thing. So over the weekend, I think we had mentioned last week, I was doing the Iowa game on ESPN2 with the half of the guys. And I know you're a lifelong Iowa guy. Is Wolfgang a lifelong Iowa guy, or at least a many years Iowa guy?
Absolutely. I would say, Trent, maybe last 5-6 years, finally respect Iowa State. And I actually do root for the flyover country, Zubin.
I got you. No pun intended there. No insult intended for the Iowa State fans. I'm going to have to... A little damage control there for you, Wolfgang. But I would say this. This is an Iowa State thing. So we're watching the Iowa game, and I just happened to briefly mention to Coach Mora and Acho that I had worked in Iowa. We were working together for the first time, so we were just getting to know each other and whatever. And so he said, now, with you guys, to put your collective Iowa sports memories together. I was just flying through for like 4 years, but you guys have been there. When is the last time this happened? Acho said to me, you know, I think Akeem Butler is my favorite Big 12 receiver. And he goes, you know, I think David Montgomery is the best running back in the Big 12. And remember, this guy was an All-American at Texas. Mm-hmm. And I started to think to myself, you know, obviously they had Troy Davis and the Heisman final years where they went to New York and all that. But when is the last time you heard someone say that Iowa State had not one, because Troy's there, but two of the best skill position players in a conference that includes Texas and Oklahoma and a lot of other juggernauts over the years, going back to the old Big 8 days, even when you had Nebraska in there. That really struck me, and I was like, you know, let me ask the guys about that. When is the last time you thought Iowa State had this much offensive firepower in terms of, like, A-level, top-shelf recruiting talent?
Well, Trent, you want to take this, Trent, or you want me to go?
Go ahead, Wolfgang.
I will talk. You know, I basically call Montgomery. I'm just basically a groupie with Montgomery. I think, and we had your guy John Walters on, four or 5 days ago. And I asked him this. I go, John, I don't even think your fan base gets how good this guy is. I love him. Iowa State's offensive line, their run blocking isn't the greatest. He gets every yard that is there and more, Zubin. So I love that guy. I think wherever he goes in the NFL, Zubin, is going to be one of my favorite teams. The Butler kid, I said about 5 weeks ago, I actually feel bad for the guys that are like trying to somehow guard him. He looks like Randy Moss and, I don't know, Terrell Owens combined, and they had, you know, a kid or something like that. I can't even... So this was a talking point, Zubin. The other guy you did not bring up, and you kind of have a little bit of a different question than I do, but I don't ever remember watching three guys on offense at the same time that I consider not just my favorite players in the state. I'm talking college football. I love watching them. Mr. Purdy and the ball fakes that he does and that stuff where he's able to get a first down when it's third and eight. He just does this crazy stuff. It's fun to watch, Zubin, seriously.
What about you, Trent? Do you think so? Has there been a time where they've had this sort of A-level talent? And the thing is, the only reason I didn't include Purdy is because the sample size is so small, but he's obviously trending in the right direction. I think any coach would love to have either Montgomery or a guy like Butler. It's just when he said it, I was just like, wow, you're right. I mean, Does Texas have anybody that good? Is Colin Johnson as good as Butler? Is anybody that's running the ball at Oklahoma? Is Trey Sermon better than David Montgomery? I mean, if it's a tie, isn't that really a win for Iowa State?
You know, the only team, at least in recent history, you go back to the 77 Peach Bowl team, and you look at the numbers, and they're not very impressive, is the 2000 team, the best team under McCarney that went 8-3 in the regular season. But the difference, they got blown out in two big games against Nebraska and against Kansas State that year. They had nice players. Sage Rosenfeld's obviously played in the league. You know, J.J. Moses was a really nice college player. But you're talking elite. You're talking top level. I don't think anybody in the Big 12 at that time was talking about J.J. Moses as the best, you know, wide receiver in the league like you can with Butler. Nobody's talking about, you know, Enos Hayward, nice running back, not the best in the league like David Montgomery. Zubin, to answer your question, this has never happened before, at least of the last 40 years.
It's unbelievable, and I think a lot of this is just, as you know, think about the future right now. You've got a coach that's under 40. You've got this sort of talent. Let me give you a quick little story that I don't even know if I've mentioned this to you. I was back in Iowa in June. This is way back in the old days before Wolfgang was a radio star 5 days a week. But I was back in Iowa in June after the NBA Finals just to take a quick trip. And I went into a restaurant. And I was just eating dinner. And a guy came up to me and just started, he had recognized me from ESPN. So we just started talking. And he said, I said, oh, so what are you doing here? I said, oh, well, you know, I used to work here. I'm coming back to see some friends. I said, oh, what are you doing here? Just having like a polite, quick conversation. And he goes, oh, my son is one of the best, and I wish I could remember the kid's name. He's from Plano, Texas. He goes, my son is one of the best defensive back prospects in the country, and he's actually at an Iowa State camp tomorrow, which is why we're spending tonight in Des Moines. And so I said, oh, you know, how old is your son? He goes, oh, he's just a sophomore. But Matt Campbell's been all over him. And it's just those little types of stories. Again, I mean, this is just a guy that's probably hyping up his son or whatever the case is, but this was a guy that was an underclassman, a guy that had looks from, you know, TCU, hoping to get looks from Stanford, et cetera. And this guy's just coming to Des Moines, driving to Ames with his dad the next day. It's amazing in terms of not just the development under Matt Campbell, but Campbell, in my opinion, is going to raise the recruiting bar, not just the development. His development is what's getting him the looks in the NFL, the Ohio State, the Cleveland Browns, all that stuff. He is going to be bringing in a level of player, in my just 10,000-foot opinion. You guys are there every day. He's going to bring in a level of player that is really going to make this exciting for what I think is the most loyal fan base, with all due respect to the Hawk fans. You guys have had so much success. To one of the most loyal, patient, deserving fan bases in the country.
There's no doubt. And the way that he is recruited, I love the way that he came in, decided he was going to tap into his area, Ohio and Illinois and Indiana, places like that, and be the Big 12 destination for the Midwest. And it's a very smart move. Because you go down there and you recruit in Texas. Well, you're not going to beat not only Texas and Oklahoma for recruits, but you're not, for the most part, beating TCU and Texas Tech and even Kansas State, because those guys are going to play closer to home. When the options are very similar, they're going to want to play closer to home. They did that. And much like Kentucky, Mark Stoops has done, being going into Ohio and being the SEC destination for those Ohio kids, Matt Campbell's done the same in the Big 12 for the Ohio kids. I think a very smart way of recruiting. Interesting, certainly run through things, Zubin. I wanted to get your perspective, speaking of college football, on this. So as we see more and more, you look at the next couple of weeks, there'll be upsets, there'll be things, but there is a raising possibility that this scenario plays out. Notre Dame wins out. Clemson wins out. Michigan wins out, including the Big Ten championship game. And let's say Georgia upsets Bama in the SEC championship game. Of those five teams, undefeated Clemson and Notre Dame, one loss Michigan, Georgia SEC champion, one loss Alabama. Who are you leaving out?
I don't think I can leave out Alabama under this caveat. I'll try to go backwards and try to think about it here. I don't think I can leave out Alabama because I can't envision a scenario, and obviously this is your hypothetical, Trent, so you can do it every way you like, but if Georgia were to beat Alabama, it just sort of feels like it would come in the last second of the game, right? You know, I just can't imagine Alabama is going to get blown off the field by anyone after what I saw Saturday night. But I would say you got to put Alabama in there because their body of work, even though LSU is probably the first quote-unquote high-caliber opponent they've played this year, with all due respect to Texas A&M, so I think if they were to lose a game by a hair at the gun in the final game after winning the West, which has proven again to be college football's toughest division, especially with the way the Big Ten East has fallen off a little bit, and the notion that Bama just simply can't get blown out. Maybe they would just like cost themselves the game or do something crazy. I would keep them in just because I just feel like at this particular juncture, I think you would honestly, Trent, and this sounds silly, I think the credibility of the whole playoff would be ridiculous if you were to come out on December 2nd and say there are four teams in the country better than Alabama. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I can't, if you're Mullins and you come out and say that on ESPN, that we think these four teams are the best teams, not the most deserving. These are the four best teams in the country, and one of them is not Alabama. To me, that the credibility of the whole playoff is gone if that happens. So I think you've got to keep Alabama in, presuming it's close. I think Clemson is going to have the best opportunity in terms of beating Alabama. I don't know what that means in terms of how the committee stacks it up. I just sort of think that at this particular juncture, if Notre Dame, in your scenario, has one loss, is that right, Trent?
Yes.
I think it's probably going to be them.
Notre Dame undefeated. Undefeated Notre Dame, sorry.
Okay, undefeated Notre Dame. Yes. Who's got the one losses?
Michigan at 12-1, Clemson and Notre Dame undefeated. One loss Georgia, SEC champ, one loss Alabama.
Then I think I would probably, this would probably not be a popular opinion, I would probably move Michigan out. Even though I think a lot of people are like on the Michigan's unstoppable train, this is Jim Harbaugh, this is what he's been building towards, their defense looks like out, look at the way that they're playing right now, what if they take care of business the rest of the way? I just tend to think that right now a Georgia win over Alabama, and I understand what you're saying, running the table, doing what they did to Penn State, doing what they did to Michigan State already, doing what they could do to Ohio State, who is slightly trending in the wrong direction. And Trent, I got to tip my cap to you. You were on that a few weeks ago when I certainly wasn't. You saw some of the cracks in their armor. I would say Georgia, because Georgia would be the one-loss SEC champion with by far the most impressive win that any team has had this season in your scenario. One loss to a respectable team, best win of the season, champion of the toughest conference in the country, and while Michigan would probably be the champion of the second strongest league in the country with one loss as well, I think I would have to edge Georgia in front of them.
Zubin, quick question here. Bama, do you have one team that you might think plays Bama the best? And then what do you think the fake line would be, Raiders versus Bama at Bama?
Wow, Raiders versus Bama. No, I've always been in the camp that I, you know me, and I think most people probably agree with this, that the Raiders could probably name their score against Alabama. It's always fun to have these arguments. I remember a few years ago before the Jaguars, they used to have this argument too. I know it's a facetious thing. I would say this. I'm worried about, there's only one thing about Alabama I'm worried about, and it's not the old cliche of does Alabama beat themselves, although that's a great sports anchor cliche to bust out when you need it. The one thing that they really do struggle with, oddly, if you watched them the other night, you cannot rely on their kicking game. And again, if they do not get in a close game, it doesn't matter. PATs are not automatic for them. I mean, they're not even automatic in the NFL anymore, realizing they're a further kick. But if you watch Alabama special teams, especially their field goal kicking, you will not be impressed. Remember, Alabama could have won the championship last year with a field goal and missed, and then Tua bailed them out in the championship game after that 2nd-and-26. But they missed some extra points. They're sloppy on special teams. Again, when you win, you know, in shutout fashion and nobody can see you with the telescope on the scoreboard, missing a PAT here or 3 points there doesn't come back to bite you. But I do believe Clemson would probably pose the best chance because I think they have the most ferocious defense led by a high-octane offense. I think Michigan has the defense there with Don Brown, who's an amazing story. We're thinking about doing a story on him for the 24th. This is his 11th different school, guys. Don Brown's 11th different school, the defensive coordinator at Michigan. I think the defense is there for Michigan. I just don't think Shea Patterson can go score to score with Tua, even though Shea has certainly looked better and better week after week after week after week. I believe in Gary. I believe in Winovich. I love what Michigan's done with Don Brown, but I don't think they have the offensive-defensive combination. I do believe Clemson would be the closest to having the offensive-defensive combination. And it was surreal last week when we were doing the highlights to show Trevor Lawrence throwing a bunch of touchdown passes and then Dexter Lawrence, their defensive tackle, running it in for a touchdown. So they had a lot of fun scoring 77 last week. But my guess would be Clemson would be best equipped to do it from offensively and a defensive standpoint. Would that be enough to beat them? I'm not sure, but I think I would give them the best chance.
Zubin, over to the NFL last night, yesterday afternoon, a entertaining day. Of course, the New Orleans Rams game, 45-35. You go back a couple weeks back, the Chiefs-Patriots, 43-40. Have we gone too far with the rules changes, opening up the offense? Have we made it too easy on the offenses? And could you expect some comeback the other way, maybe some rules put back in place to help out the D now?
I don't think so, because I think this is precisely the type of game people want to see. And I don't think they're worried about the integrity or the sanctity of football. What they want to do is they want to make it the must-watch event that it kind of lost the last couple of years and is now seemingly rebounding. I think, yes, defensive specialists that won a 9-6 LSU-Bama game in 2011 were tearing their hair out watching yesterday. But I think the overwhelming percentage of viewers, guys like me and you and Wolfgang, guys in your audience, love the up-and-down scoring, love the high quality of play. This wasn't just like Big 12 with no defenses. This was just like unbelievable skill. All right, you got Todd Gurley, I got Alvin Kamara. And if you're a fantasy owner, which obviously comprises a huge percentage of people that watch games and consume football, it's beautiful to watch that. If you're a fantasy owner and you have one of those two teams, or you're freaking out because you're playing against Todd Gurley or Alvin Kamara. So I think from a story standpoint, this is the way the league is obviously going. I think from a business standpoint, the league enjoys this. It's a lot of fireworks. It's a lot of excitement. But honestly, if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs and I'm like, I might have to play one of these guys, and obviously they're going to play the Rams on Monday Night Football in Mexico later this month, I think this is a big wake-up call. Obviously, the trade deadline is passed, but this is a big wake-up call to see how are we going to shore up our defenses. I have no doubt in my mind, yesterday, the Saints or Rams could have put up 45 on the pass. They could have put up 45 on the Packers, who are now obviously sliding into oblivion. They could have put 45 on the Chiefs. They could have put 45 on any team. Those two teams can score against anyone. So I think the bigger lesson here is that the offense is here to stay. It's the way the game is going. But if you are a championship contender like Kansas City or New England, and your bugaboo, your Achilles heel is defense, that's really something to be concerned about, because at some point or another, if you want to get to where you're going to get, most likely in the Super Bowl, you're likely going to have to play New Orleans or the Rams, and they might likely play each other again at some point down the line, perhaps in the NFC title game, which is why yesterday was so important, because now both teams have one loss, and the Saints have the head-to-head, et cetera. Although, if you look at the Saints' schedule, by the way, whoop, we were looking at it last night on SportsCenter when we were talking about the game. Very, very difficult schedule down the stretch for the Saints. So if they get the one seed, they'll earn it. But in my opinion, this is the way the league wants football to go. This is the way fans have been cheering for it to be. It's an exciting brand of football. The league wins, the fan wins. But I think if you're a title contender with a shaky defense, you really have to worry. Because as crazy as it sounds, the Rams gave up 45 points yesterday. I think a lot of people feel they have one of the better defenses in the league, led by Aaron Donald. You didn't see it yesterday. But if you have championship aspirations, you have to think to yourself, yeah, I got Mahomes and we can score 40, but are we going to give up 41 or 42 to them? That's a bigger concern for some of these other title contenders. So I think the league is here to stay. This is the next evolution of the game. 20 years ago, it was the West Coast offense. 10 years ago, it was the Wildcat. And now it's this, whatever you want to dub this as. So there's always an evolution of the game. And with the rules changes trending way more towards the offense, you're going to see a lot more offensive innovation than you will defensive innovation.
And Zubin, I think we're close to having to go, but I did overhear you before we went on. Don't get too close to the space heater. I did that once and fell asleep, and it throws off your internal clock, and I urinated myself.
Oh, no.
Not internal clock. Internal thermostat. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Internal thermostat. Don't do it. I'm telling you. Did it about 5 years ago. Worst moment of my life, almost.
This is one of those moments where I'm glad we're not on the radio. We don't have visual. All right, let's see Wolfgang. Let's take a quick slow-mo replay of Wolfgang wetting himself. Okay. So I'm just going to hear that on the radio, and I'll try to block that out of my mind.
Unbelievable. With that, Zubin, I guess we're done here.
I don't know what. Yeah, what more behind note can we go on right now than that?
I don't think we have anything. There's only one place Wolfgang can take that, and it's to there.
Urination.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Zubin, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Zubin. Bye-bye.
Zubin Mahente, Joe. Well, that was something.
I wanted to get that out there. I heard that. I wanted to get that to him before he actually had that happen. I once had somebody tell me that same thing, and they gave me that advice. I didn't take that person's advice. It throws off your internal thermostat, and you can't, it's weird. And I woke up and I went, what? I went, you know, you're feeling down by your leg and you're going, what?
I don't know if I believe this.
I had somebody tell me it?
Well, sure.
And it happened to me. I laughed at him just like you're laughing at me. Why don't you do me a favor?
I slept with the space heater for a number of years. I never pissed myself.
Well, so we used to have a cold basement.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would be real close to that sucker. I'm talking like 10 feet away.
Sure.
Or even 5 feet away. I was like, we had a pretty cool basement, but it was freezing down there.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Anyway, so I'm telling you, you're more than welcome to try it. But just, if you don't believe me now, you will believe me later. I promise you.
Well, I don't know if I'll believe you ever, but...
Don't do it. Don't even test my theory, please.
I'm not going to try. I will tell you that much. Coming up next, we're taking a look at Monday Night Football this evening and a look back at another profitable weekend for Wolfgang.
Really?
You're making money. You know how much you made this weekend, right?
No, I don't.
Another $600.
So we're going straight even. It's not really how much money I made. I made a little bit less than that, right?
Yeah, you actually made $540 with the juice.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So I didn't know the exact amount of money. So we're doing that. So $600. I mean, that sounds better. I would prefer that you pump me up like that.
You're up $1,400 through 3 weeks. $1,400.
So I know this will all come crashing down when it's made legal.
It will.
I'm not stupid. I know how that works, Trent. I know how that works. Once there's actual dollars on the table ready to be done, that half a point that I win by in the Purdue game or whatever, or you know, 1 point or whatever. That doesn't happen when you actually put money on it. So, but I do have a philosophy, I've told you. I don't know if it's a dumb philosophy.
Find who's going to win.
That Michigan State-Maryland game that you and Ken wanted to stay away from?
Yep.
Felt really good about that one. I put $200 on that one. I said, Michigan State is Iowa. Iowa kicked the crap out of Maryland. You brought in a little psychology, which I understood. Maryland, they don't give a damn enough about their football program for that. To be some sort of great home field advantage. I watched that.
Well, it was a home field advantage. That was never what
it was just rallying. It was more the players. Okay. Yes. So you wouldn't even have put the fact that it was a home game even into effect?
No.
Okay.
And we didn't know who was going to start between Larrickey and Lombardi.
Didn't matter to me.
Didn't matter.
You told me that shouldn't matter.
I told you that.
Trent.
I told you that.
You tell me these things, and now you just try to go back on that.
We'll go back after this. We'll take a look back at how we did a look to tonight. Mr. Monday Night, your boy TC has got a pick for you coming up on the other side as we take you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Back with more on The Drive, 1700 The Champ. Back with you one final time. It's The Drive on 1700 The Champ. Trent and Wolfgang here with you. Wolfgang, I'm battling here getting to the end of the show. It was a trying night in the Condon household last night. Had a sick kid.
Oh, man.
Yeah, old man's a little sick. I'm not feeling my best. Of course, I'm going to be gone Wednesday and Thursday. You're going to be by yourself. Are you going to be okay? Because tomorrow we're out of studio. Of course, we'll be at G-Migs. Stop on and say hello to us. Have a beer. Buy me a beer. I'm going to need one because I got volleyball Wednesday and Thursday. Then to the Dome. You're off on Friday because we got the doubleheader. 4 o'clock Dowling plays. 7 o'clock Southeast Polk plays. You got a 4-day work week this week, so you got to be happy about that.
Well, you scared me. I thought I was going to have to do Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. You know, that's kind of like just shoving me and pushing my face down into it.
But you
I've done it on Saturdays before. It's fine, but it's hard not to, you know, just throw somebody, you know, something off somebody. If you're just sitting there talking to yourself, to me, you're a little weird if you're good at that. That means you're basically having conversations at home by yourself, and I do that.
I've done it for a number of years on these radio airwaves. People have heard me have the conversations with yourself, and it's funny. When you talk to yourself in circles, and then you start arguing with yourself.
That's a bunch of crap, Trent. No, it's not, Trent.
not quite that explicit. But,
oh, wow.
But I need some sleep tonight. I don't know how much of this Monday night game I'm going to hit. I don't know how many hours of sleep I got last night. I don't even know if it was hours. It might have been hour. It was a rough one.
How many hours of sleep did you get?
Yeah, it's coming to the end here, and home, and we'll see. But I like Tennessee. And I said earlier in the day, it was a small lean. I've done some more crunching. I like it more. I like Tennessee in the spot tonight. And though I'm rooting for Amari Cooper to play well, hopeful for that kid. I just enjoyed watching him play at Alabama so much.
Okay.
Getting out of Oakland, probably the best thing for him. We'll see what he can do, what impact he's going to make for Dallas. But I like Tennessee in the points. That's my pick for Monday Night Football. And you got to decide. You got a 4.5, 5 is the number. You lean
in either way. See, I've watched the Cowboys, and you tell me, and not just you, there's a reason all the damn shows talk about the Cowboys. They're not talking about them because nobody cares, right?
Right. They are America's team.
I don't think they're very interesting. I'm talking about now. That brings a little more interest, the fact that Cooper's going to be there. Let's see if they actually have a wide receiver that can get open and make plays. How good is he? I don't know. He made the Pro Bowl 2 years in a row, right? And then might have even made All-Pro 1 year. And then he's kind of had a little bit of an off streak going on last year and then this year. I've watched him, not hugely fascinated with him, but he's at least a one. So now the Cowboys actually have a receiver that's a number one guy, in my opinion. Is he the greatest? No, he's not. But that gives me intrigue to watch the Cowboys to see if they can do it. I do like Dak Prescott. I don't think he's that good.
It's all right.
I don't know where I would rank him. I'd have to have a list of quarterbacks in front of me of who I would take.
He 20?
Oh, yeah. There's probably 20 ahead of him. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I think back to when they basically kicked Romo out. And I was more of a Romo guy than most. I thought he kind of got a bad rap. And I started looking up stuff on Romo, and people were saying, like, he's a choker. Because remember, what was it, the extra point hold or whatever that was back in the day? So once people finally have something in their mind, they can't let it go. He wasn't a choker.
That was early in his career, though, too.
But there's actually a stat that shows fourth quarter, and you hate this stuff, but anyway, basically clutch-type stuff in the fourth quarter, QBR. So you don't like QBR, fine. He was number one.
It's a fake
in the fourth quarter. But let's say it's at least, so fine, let's say he's fourth.
All right.
Is that fair?
You would take him over all the quarterbacks behind him, though?
What I'm saying is the narrative was a little false. A little overblown. That's what people do.
Yeah.
When something happens at, you know, the clutchiest of clutch moments, and he doesn't get the PAT down and has to run and throw a stupid pass and look like an idiot. He wasn't an idiot.
That was early in his career.
He was a good quarterback.
Though. That was early in his career.
But that sticks, man. They drive that stuff on SportsCenter, on
right.
Fox,
you
on
know
CBS.
Why? Because he didn't win the playoffs. That's why it stuck. I mean, there's a reason it stuck. If he would have went on and won 3 Super Bowls, it wouldn't have stuck.
Yeah, it about drove me crazy because right when they finally decided to get rid of him, they finally have an offensive line. He was running for his damn life.
Sure.
For years. For years. You know offensive line means something. He could pick people apart if he had time. Finally, they got on offensive line and they decide to go to this Dak Prescott guy, who I actually like. I think he's a good human being, a nice dude, but he's not better than Tony Romo. I just don't believe that. See, I don't care about the Cowboys, can you tell?
I guess. Romo could never stay healthy.
I'm just screwed up.
I mean,
why was that again?
Sure. But every quarterback gets hit. Every quarterback, doesn't it come back to him a little bit? I mean, we talked pocket presence in the past. I think it goes back that direction. A million different narratives, certainly, that we can go. Tonight, no lean, though.
You haven't even told the spread. What is it?
4.5, 5.
I don't feel that one way or another. I mean, do you want me to just make a fake pick? I can,
no,
that doesn't, I guess that doesn't do it for me.
Not when you're like you and you're up $1,400 through 3 weeks.
I tell you what, man. Seriously.
You had Iowa +3 for $300.
Mm-hmm.
That's a win.
But to be honest, I told you I didn't really feel good or bad, but if you're going to give me 3, I'm going to bet on Iowa.
And you got it?
Yeah.
And you had the Chiefs and the Steelers and the Cyclones?
And the Chiefs one scared me because you went opposite of me.
I did.
So I think I was going to bet 200 on that and came down to 100 because
yeah,
I
LSU.
Do. And do you remember what I said about that? I was like, essentially I said, I really don't believe in this game, but basically college football is over as we know it if Alabama wins by 15 or more. And then I keep listening to all these people that I trust and trust and trust, and they say, yeah, Bama's going to win by 3 or 4 touchdowns. They were wrong. They won by more than 4 touchdowns, Trent. What do we have forward to look to?
I'm still excited about a Michigan Alabama game. I'm still excited to see Clemson Alabama 4. And there's plenty of other things.
Clemson Alabama 4. Yeah. What is this, Jurassic Park?
It's getting there. I mean, sign me up.
You can lose any given day, right? Any given Saturday, any given
USC
Sunday.
USC was unbeatable. And Fresno had him on the ropes. And then we know what happened in Texas in the national championship game. It can happen. Anything else tonight? Of course, tomorrow will be the kickoff to college basketball.
Oh, that's going to be great times.
Oh, so good. You mentioned earlier you watched a little bit of the Iowa exhibition game yesterday.
Watched it all.
So what? 38-0?
Final four? Yep. I'm thinking they're going to challenge.
Well, it's in Minneapolis.
You remember
the
running Rebels?
Yeah.
Yep. More talent on this team than I've ever seen in my life.
Larry Johnson. Stacey Ogben.
Yep.
And this Iowa basketball
Greg
team.
Anthony.
Greg Anthony.
Who was the big guy that they had the
Moses
first,
Curry?
Yeah, the first year. The second year, they lost to Duke.
Yes.
I think they took it a little too easy, a little too...
Well...
They didn't care as much. You could tell Duke was living for that moment.
That they were.
They were living...
After losing
you
by 30 in the national
championship.
You
like Lee Sterling at Paramount Sports. You agree with that stuff. I agree with it now. You've talked me into it. I always agree with it. I just didn't know how to put it mathematically into a formula like I guess you guys do when you bet.
We will. My formulas don't work out very well. They do.
You're
not
still making money?
Still. It's time to go home. It's time to go to bed. I'm putting on the PJs, crawling into bed, and calling it a night. And maybe have a sick little girl next to me. We'll see how that goes. But she made it through school at least today. So,
are you sure it's not allergies?
Yeah, positive. Yeah,
sickness for sure.
Yep. Yes, we had the same, but allergies.
Allergies are going around big time.
Allergies? It's freezing out. That's not supposed to cold.
It hasn't hit below 32 yet.
Oh, okay.
No, that's when it starts to go
away.
See,
I only get allergies in the spring, at least for the most part.
You don't know what we face.
Well,
I've always said that about you.
You know, Revenge of the Nerds over there with your allergy. Get your medicine. We'll be back tomorrow. And we'll try to do better. We have coming up here, though, Monday Night Football. If you're out and about this evening, we got you covered on 1700 The Champ with the Cowboys and the Titans. Play-by-play action with Westwood One. And then we'll be back tomorrow starting at 11 a.m. with our local programming. Myself and Ken Miller get you started at 11 each and every day. Thanks, everybody out there, for listening in. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening on 1700 The Champ.